Hello, hello. Welcome back to A Rip in the Veil, your safe place to discuss everything that makes you feel not so safe. Today, before we get into today's episode, I just want to give a quick disclaimer. It is like super ridiculously windy out, and I'm right on a lake in a drafty house, so if you hear wind, that is probably why. Also, I am getting over the flu. I had it last week, but it's still lingering, and so if my voice is kind of flu-like, that's why. And we all know the flu is the worst. The worst! Parks and Rec, anybody? Anyway, so today we're going to talk about part of what helped to not only inspire the name of this podcast, but just starting it in the first place. So I'm sure anyone who's listening to this has made some kind of educated guess that the veil in A Rip in the Veil is referencing the separation between our worlds and dimensions. Now, this particularly became a topic of interest for me after a visual I had during meditation. And another disclaimer, we're off to a great start, two disclaimers in a minute. I am not, like, the most spiritual person. I don't meditate that frequently, and because of that, I mean, when I do meditate, I cannot focus worth a shit. So it was very rare for me to get a visual. So what I saw while I was meditating, it was all grayscale. It was like a wall of, like, smoky mist, and then a ball was like thrown through it, like towards me, like I was on the other side of it. All of a sudden a ball was thrown through it and like landed on the ground in front of me. And for some reason that just really stuck with me, and I just like couldn't shake the feeling that that's what it felt like, was like the separation, like the veil was like that close. You know what I mean? Like it just made it very real for me, because you know. So this veil is also referenced frequently just in general. People talk about the witching hour, thinner around Halloween, supposedly thinnest in certain areas of the world. Like I said, certain times and days, times of the year. Some have even said we have a personal veil, which could be the energy surrounding us and our ability to let things in, you know, how sensitive you are, you know, people with, you know, psychic abilities, things like that. So back to the witching hour, it's from 2 to 4 a.m. And I think most of us are probably fairly familiar with that. It's known to be the thinnest period of the day. It's known for increased paranormal activity, spiritual connectedness, and being able to connect with your spirit guides in general. I had heard the thing about Halloween before, about the veil being thin around that time of year, or that day rather, but it's really the time of year. It's supposedly from like the middle of September to the beginning of November. And this is something that is referenced in old and ancient societies. And they recognized it, and they used this period of time to contact spirits. Some say this increased activity has to do with us getting in contact with the spirits. Like, it's not that there's an increase activity necessarily, it's the fact that we are doing it. Like, we're attracting it, we're the ones making contact, not that the veil is necessarily thin. So that being said, something else I wanted to bring up in this episode that I feel is related are energy vortexes and portals. So there's thought to be like paranormal or dimensional. Some people think that they're just, you know, areas of with a higher energy flow. They usually fall along ley lines, L-E-Y lines, which usually follow fault lines, like actually like fault lines in the earth, like breaks in the tectonic plates. So in through those fault lines in between the tectonic plates, it allows more electromagnetic energy to come through. So actually I want to do something completely separate on ley lines because they're really interesting as well. But also ancient ritual sites like Stonehenge, Machu Picchu, extraterrestrials, crop circles, Bigfoot and Yeti sightings are said to be focused around vortexes as well, which I did not know that, but in a way it makes a lot of sense. So I made a note here, side note. I don't know if you guys have watched Horse Girl on Netflix, but it has a very slow start anyway, so I made a note. Coming back to this after watching Horse Girl and wondering what the fuck was going on there. Loss of time? Shared visuals with strangers? Dot, dot, dot. So anyway, if you're interested in that, like I said, it's a slow start, but it is kind of an interesting movie. So back to possible like explanations, real reasons for the this feeling of like extra energy flow with these vortexes are magnetic fields, again, ley lines, quartz and lime deposits. These areas are supposed to cause feelings of rejuvenation, awareness, relaxation, and general connection with the universe. Now I want to talk about parallel dimensions, because this is something that I think is all connected and related. So this is actually from space.com, and they talk about parallels, and this is a paraphrase. They can be different spin-offs, like daughter universes, where like it's essentially branching off from your life, your existence. Like say you make a decision in this life, say you make a decision to eat pizza today. And then, well, maybe in another universe, you ate tacos, and that takes you on a completely different life route. So that's one idea, one theory of the parallel universes. Some think they're infinite, that they're just infinitely created. Some think that they're more like a bubble, and they could operate completely differently than our universe, have a completely like new set of rules and dynamics that our world does not follow. Now, of course, there are arguments against parallels. Some say it's too unique to repeat itself, and that essentially, like, there's not enough to keep creating these parallel universes, and it, essentially there's not enough to support that. Others say that there are limits just because there are only so many ways that particles can arrange themselves. But that doesn't mean that these other universes can't exist. It just means that there are limitations, and because there's only so many ways these particles can put themselves together, there might be a lot of repetition. So we would see a lot of similarities. Now, something interesting from Stephen Hawking's last paper. It was published in May 8, 2018. It's a theory that he was doing an interview with Cambridge University for the Washington Post, and he said, quote, "We are not down to a single unique universe, but our findings imply a significant reduction of the multiverse to a much smaller range of possible universes." So, I mean, that seems much more likely. It's almost like a combination, like meeting in the middle of all the multiverse theories and arguments. Here's the shit that keeps me up at night. How does that relate back to the paranormal, the unknown, and everything this podcast is about, right? So once you consider all of the paranormal activities, whether it's documented or undocumented, once you consider all of that activity, the extraterrestrial activity, cryptid sightings, fae, gnome, other creatures, documented or not, whether it has witnesses or not, you really have to start to wonder how we are able to experience and see these things. You know, why are they here? How are they here? How does that happen? Why do some people experience them more than others? Now, of course, there's always a chance that some, you know, unknown strange creature is simply that, something we just haven't discovered yet. But, you know, Yeti, Bigfoot, cryptids, you know, those are not a new subject. You know, their sightings have been documented for decades, if not centuries. Some who have experienced cryptids have also recounted that they have otherworldly behaviors and abilities. Okay, so let's tie this all together. Hopefully you guys can see where my brain is going. So our universe is like 14 billion years old. The Earth has seen dinosaurs and any other massive creatures, you know, related to what we know today. I mean, like, I know people talk about the Loch Ness Monster. To me, that's a very real possibility because they've found, there's actually something called an oarfish, O-A-R, and it's like a giant serpent-looking thing. Can you imagine one of those motherfuckers back in the, like, the dinosaur periods? Come on, like, you're telling me that something might not have, you know, made it that long? I haven't heard of any new sightings. Maybe it finally died, you know? Like, to me, I feel like it's impossible for us to assume that there is not the possibility of these creatures, right? So, these parallel universes have most likely been around for much longer than the human race. So, who are we to say that these other creatures couldn't exist and maybe have been existing for a long time in our world and others? Maybe they're aware of these vortexes, and maybe they're familiar with interdimensional travel. Maybe it's an innate thing for them. Now, maybe our paranormal experiences are overlapping with other dimensions, and they return to areas that left maybe like an energy signature. I mean, one of the types of hauntings is like a residual haunting. And wouldn't that kind of make sense? People are seen doing tasks that they did every single day of their life in a place they were every single day of their life. It kind of makes you wonder why their spirit would return there. Maybe there's an overlap and they've, you know, left a little bit behind. So maybe it's just a parallel dimension, and, you know, our paranormal experiences are those dimensions overlapping. So what if our loved ones who have passed on are a dimension away and they're separated by a veil that we do not understand enough to rip open ourselves, but it's been ripped open before by people and creatures that understand and accept that there's a connection of the mind, body, soul, and universe? So we've gone over what are thought to be common causes and explanations of energy vortexes, what veils are thought to be, what could possibly be attracted to a vortex, what they do. Now we're going to go over some common vortexes, just a few, just like two of them. I would like to get into others on a deeper level at another time, but I picked these two for a reason, because they are actually quite different. So the first one, and this is like top of my list, one of the things I want to do, is the Bridgewater Triangle in Massachusetts. So just a brief overview of all the crazy shit that happens there. Multiple UFO sightings, multiple witnesses, there's radio reports in the 70s, an increase of paranormal activity and orb sightings, hominids, Bigfoot sightings, thunderbirds. Let me say that again. Thunderbirds. We're talking like birds with like 8 to 10 foot wingspan, like pterodactyl-like, like from the fucking dinosaur ages. Who's to say that they don't still exist? I mean, they had to have existed at some point, right? So my question there for these creatures is, do they live there and they hide there, or do they travel somehow? Do they travel somehow interdimensionally? There's got to be a reason why there's all these sightings at a fairly powerful energy vortex. And I say powerful just because there's been so much activity there. So besides, you know, the unknown, there's also been some strange human activity there. Well, not so strange back in the day, but animal mutilation and ritual activity. And there's also an increased rate of murder and suicide. So very cheery stuff there. And now I have another note saying spiritual healing, LMAO, because that's the thing, is that these vortexes, you know, they're known to give you these, you know, positive vibes, man, rejuvenation, man. But not all energy is good energy, and we all know there are bad things and people out there. So it's very possible that the same large energy flow has been used for things that are not so rejuvenating, like animal mutilation. Oh, another thing, the Bridgewater Triangle, it has many towns within it. It's like 200 square miles or something. But Bigfoot is usually seen near something called the Hockomock Swamp. It's in the middle. And Hockomock means the place where the spirits dwell. So just to lay it on thick there. But the Bridgewater Triangle, especially with the whole, ritual, mutilation, murder, suicide, is a stark contrast to the next vortex we're talking about, which is in Sedona, Arizona. And actually, I got this information from visitsedona.com, so it definitely seems like it's a touristy part of the area. Now, again, maybe there's some negative, you know, maybe there's other things that have happened in the past that aren't so spiritually healing, but again, it seemed like a kind of a touristy website, so take what you will. But according to that site, it says that pretty much all of Sedona is a vortex, but there are particularly active spots. For example, there's Airport Mesa, Cathedral Rock, Bell Rock, and Boynton Canyon. It says that some energy is spiraling upwards and some downwards into the earth. So visitors apparently experience a notable feeling of peace, healing, and well-being. Another question. So does the direction of energy flow matter? Does it make a difference? Say we're talking about these creatures or paranormal beings that are going in between dimensions. If they use vortexes, does it matter? Is it like a up and a down escalator? What does that mean? Does it make a difference? I'm very curious about that. I'll have to look into that more. So there are many other vortexes, including ancient sites, that I definitely plan to cover later, but we'll try to keep this more concise. So let's go back and combine those ideas. So for centuries, people have referenced and acknowledged that there's a veil or separation between our worlds, and it seems to be affected by these energy vortexes in the ley lines, right? So I'm someone who believes not only in the unexplained phenomenon, but that there's some true scientific connection that we will hopefully be able to define and support with real data one day. I mean, it would make sense for the veil to maybe consist of electromagnetic energy, and that is containing something just like it surrounds our Earth. I mean, the Earth is like a giant magnet. That's why we have our ozone, and that's why we have, like, that's why the shit works, right? So maybe that's why it interacts with these energy vortexes, which have more electromagnetic energy. So does it maybe disrupt the, electromagnetic field? Or maybe it strengthens it. Maybe if it's weakened, maybe they're able to travel because the veil is weakened like a hole, or maybe it increases, you know, because people say that it, you know, you can feel the energy. So if it increases the energy, maybe it provides the fuel that's needed for interdimensional travel, paranormal, maybe ETs are aware of this and use it and harness it in some way. Honestly, there are so many questions, and I feel like there has to be some kind of connection. Actually, I have a book that I've been meaning to read. It's called The Spirit of Science, and it's literally about that connection. It's like that one thing that most of us have felt, you know, like in a spiritual way, maybe, you know, we all have something, whether it's intuition, that feeling that we've all experienced it. It's seen everywhere all around the world in pretty much every human being, but no one can explain it scientifically. And it's like there's a missing link between our science today and spirituality and, you know, all these, you know, in the unknown, paranormal, ETs. There's some kind of missing link. Once that is linked, I mean, I know I'm going to go buck wild. So hopefully one day we will be hearing of, you know, real explanations. So, something else that popped into my brain when I was talking about, you know, the witching hour and the veil thinning at 3 a.m. was the relation of all these magnetic energies to the moon and the rotation of the Earth, right? So if the gravitational pull of our moon can literally move our oceans, which are vast pools of energy and life, I mean, to begin with, maybe the moon's energy, you know, with the rotation affects the veil, and that would explain why, you know, 3 a.m. where I am, which is could very well be different from 3 a.m. where you are. Maybe that's why witching hour is really an internationally known and felt time, because maybe it really does have to do with our, you know, our universe, our planet. It's beyond just a number on a clock. It's, okay, where's the position of the Earth at this time? Where is that in relation to, you know, the moon and all these magnetic fields and this and that? I'm just rambling at this point, if you can't fucking tell. But it's just something that popped into my head while we were talking about it. So, I mean, what do you think? Ramble with me. I can't be the only one. What are your thoughts on veils and vortexes? Do you think they interact? Do you think there is a veil? Feel free to email me your thoughts, ideas, your recommendations. My email is airtvpodcast@gmail.com. It's just the acronym for a rip in the veil. I would love to know that I'm not crazy and people actually listen to this. If real humans listen to this and tell me that they don't think I'm fucking batshit, I mean, that will just be, I mean, I'm done. I've reached my goal. But real quick before I go, I would like to leave you with a little excerpt from that article on space.com that I was talking about, that I got the information from the parallel universes, about the parallel universes rather. So they were discussing the idea of a multiverse, and actually astrophysicist Ethan Segal, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name, it's S-I-E-G-A-L, he's actually arguing against the idea of parallel dimensions, but I like this sentiment that he left. So the excerpt is, "But rather than seeing this lack of other universes as a limitation, Segal instead takes the philosophy that it shows how important it is to celebrate being unique. He advises everybody to make choices that work for you, which, quote, leave you with no regrets. That's because there are no other realities where the choice of your dream self plays out. You, therefore, are the only person that can make those choices happen." That being said, no matter what you believe in, whether you think I'm batshit or not, whatever dimension you're tuning in from, whether it's mine or elsewhere, I hope it's a happy one. Until next time, friends.